plain fact of male, female, has been charged with all kinds of social influences from 500 BC onwards, where it's mainly the feminine that's being dishonored, right? But if you dishonor the feminine, you synchronistically dishonor the male, it's a bad deal for both. And the male might seem to have some conventional power or control, but he's miserable as shit in that. And I'm saying it's when strength receives, it's when the male surrenders to the feminine and actually can use the feminine. Surrender to, you know, become one with the feminine, then that is God realizing. That is the natural state. That is the power of reality, right? Is the male surrender to the feminine. And it's just the same as saying strength must receive, that's all. You must be able to take an inhale in your strong asana. If you don't, it's only male Brahmanic activity trying to get to God that's going to cause degenerative illness in your joints, and finally it's going to kill you quickly. Yeah. And there'll be no pleasure, you know. But if strength receives, if you can receive the inhale in your asana, then your strength actually becomes stronger. Male actually becomes stronger in its surrender to the natural state. It becomes more intelligent, more flexible, you know, more durable is the word. If you do your asana properly, as it was taught by the ancients, not as it was developed by Bikram Iyengar and Patavi Joyce, and the Shivananda fanatics too, Vishnu Devananda, who came here, Satyudananda, Venkatesananda, all were not at all yogis. They didn't understand, and they were all in celibate cults. All of them. Even the Brahmanic men who had wives were still in the influence that somehow it was better to be celibate and keep your wife under control. So this is like coming into the ordinariness of reality. Of course the ordinary is not separate from its source condition. How can it be? We went through that yesterday. Duh, you know. And then you begin this practice of the participation in the union of opposites. Right? Even in the separation of the opposites, you know, where Jay enjoys his autonomy, you know, and the left side enjoys the left side and the right side enjoys, but they come together as one body, you know. There's you and there's me, but then we come together in some appropriate circumstance and enjoy, right? So it's this ordinary participation in the given reality which we know, which we become intimate with. But anyway, I was talking about this tantric sex business where guys are going around talking about some exaggeration of sexual experience or sexual intimacy without the base of hatha yoga. And I'm saying that's as much a delusion and a misleading of the public as the people who are talking about celibacy or becoming detached, you know, not needing intimacy. There's two poles there, right? And they are both misleading. So if you just do your hatha yoga, you do a real yoga, then you find that intimacy arises with another completely naturally, and there doesn't even have to be any textbooks on how to make love. Right? Because it's just, you just love somebody. You value somebody as much as you value yourself. And the great instruction from Jesus Christ was a tantric yogic instruction, so love thy neighbor as thyself. You know? Chitta vritti nirodaha. This is when Jay Brown values the body of Audrey as much, probably more, probably a little bit more than he values his own body, then that is yoga. And I'm telling you, his body knows exactly what to do relative to this profound commitment, love of another that he feels, where her happiness is more important than his own. Right? And her, the fulfillment of her desire is more important than ending his own desire. Right? There's the tantric secret. Can you speak on that?
Sure.
Your pleasure. Sorry, Audrey.
It's okay.
Are you
right? No, we were talking about this in the meeting yesterday, and I'm so glad you're talking about it because that was what I was hoping.
I don't know how deep you want to go.
No, I
just tantric sex.
We were talking about male, female, and I was talking about like goddess servant relationship, you know, and how there's the goddess and there's the servant, and that sometimes sounds like there's a subservience there, that the servant is subservient to the goddess, and no, in fact, they're very much equal. It's just that the goddess needs the servant and the servant needs the goddess, but that is the rule. Perhaps because of the male polarity, for lack of a better term, of tendency or ability to dominate feminine polarity.
I said in my book it was a male responsibility because of the history of domination.
Yeah. So the male has to surrender himself over to it. And then, in fact, that's where truth and,
and any
ease of suffering is.
I would say any male who makes it into this room, you've got it in terms of intimate relationship, you have an extreme advantage because you understand that the pleasure and the happiness of your partner is your own. You know, the deeper your partner goes, the deeper you go. It's not just the ending of your own desire, you know, which is the conventional dissatisfying sexual practice in the ordinary world, isn't it? Where the woman is left unsatisfied, and if she's unsatisfied, the male partner is definitely going to be unsatisfied. But if your woman is deeply satisfied, and I'm not just talking about sex, but I am talking about sex, right? But not just sex. If the woman is deeply pleasured, then the man is deeply pleasured. Or same-sex relationships, the same is true, of course. If the man is deeply pleasured, the man is deeply pleasured. Woman is deeply pleasured, the woman is deeply pleasured. Right? Tell your friends about that. If you couldn't bring them into this circumstance, probably for very good reason, because it's yoga or something, then you make it relevant to them. As what we want to do is, like, this has to go into the public mind in no uncertain terms. There has to be Abhyasa yoga in Manhattan. There's got to be 5 branches within a year or two. Where you're teaching this. Where the men who have been otherwise intimidated by the whole idea of yoga actually get a yoga education where they understand it's not about putting their body in exaggerated shapes and feeling awkward and uncomfortable. Right? But it's about them going inhale, exhale, like anybody can do. There is a right yoga for every person. It's not about some exaggerated physicality.
Women need to learn that too.
Exactly.
Of course. And so far, it's something that white, dysmorphic, dysfunctional women do in America. It's simply true that there is a right yoga for every person, whatever the body type, slim or big, which is, of course, has nothing to do that, if there's any sort of sense of positive or negative or quality on that, it's only in the social mind.
Right.
It's more male doctrine being pushed out that creates this mess for society where you can't even value your own body because you're either too slim or too big. You know, it's all nonsense. And yoga's been so insidiously tied up with that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's such crap, and it gets worse and worse as the years go by. It doesn't seem to be any improvement. It's a sign of hope for me that, over the 10 years that we've been having this dialogue in that crappy yoga circus, that's finally something is being heard. It's coming through.